chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Title this message this morning because of these two verses, The Constitution of the Believer. The Constitution of the Believer. And that is in God's Word. July the 4th, we just celebrated our independence, the Declaration of Independence, how great this country because of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of this country. The United States is above all other nations. Why? Because of our achievements, because we are free. Christians the same way, because we are free. We should accomplish more than any other people on the face of this earth because we are free in Christ Jesus. It's great to know that you can be saved. If a person here this hour has never been saved, it's great to know that you can be saved today. Whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you see, even a little bit greater than that is if you're already saved and that you know that you are saved this morning. Now that is a great blessing. But the greatest of all these blessings is to know that you can be, know that you are saved, but also that you're saved and you can never lose your salvation. And that is the Constitution of the believers. Now that should cause you to be more committed to Jesus Christ than you've ever been before. Now these outline that I made for you this morning, the seal that God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, the finality of it, see the security of it, and these six reasons that I gave you, the security, the meaning of this seal, that you are secure in Christ Jesus. To realize these six things in your life should cause you to want to serve Jesus Christ more than you have ever served Him before. It ought to cause you to be more faithful than you have ever been. It'll cause you to be more committed to His church and for the cause that He has left you here on this earth than you've ever been before. The knowing that His presence is in you, but also the promises is to me and to you. The purpose is for me and for you. His protection around me, His progress concerning me, but His power over me. Those six things lets us know this seal that we have identifies us with Jesus Christ, the Son of the great God. If you ever want to serve Jesus Christ, you have to do it while you're here on this earth. This ought to cause a great difference in your life this day of this great six things and the reason to understand them this day. So we'll read these two verses of scriptures this morning and we want to thank you for being here this day. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, to whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for that great, great promise that, Lord, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, we can never lose our salvation because it depends on You and not us. And how we thank You this day that You might visit the heart of each person here today, that we all might be more committed, Father, and all make that decision today that we ought to serve You, Lord, with every bit of our body, every bit of our strength and our mind, because that You are the great God and You deserve it. Again, we just pray for those on our prayer list, the ones in the hospital, the ones that's going, and the Father, the ones that You have blessed and brought back to their health. Father, we want to thank You this day. If there's someone here has never accepted You and never walked down this aisle, the day that You will give them that opportunity and the strength and the power, Father, to step out, oh God, and to claim victory in their life through Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray, God, that everybody here this hour, Lord, understand that this is a great blessing today, because we are worshiping a great Savior. And all these blessings we thank You in the name of Jesus. Amen. It says seal with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now for the boys and girls here today, when you say seal, you may be thinking about these little animals that has a ball on its nose or in a circus from time to time. But the ladies here, when you say seal, you might be thinking about this, you know, garden time, and this is vegetable time, and you might have all these fruit jars and the seal that goes around those fruit jars. And us men here today, if you say seal, you might be thinking something other about a seal that goes on the motor or the transmission. But that's not the word that's used here in these verses of scriptures. This seal means of a lawyer, a document, a seal. The seal has authority behind it in this verse of scriptures. This seal is a legal term. It happened whenever you were saved and whenever I was saved. His seal upon us, we will never, never lose it. Romans 8 and 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if any man, any person have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have this finality of it. When he seals you, that is the end of it, and you are secure, and that you are identified with Jesus Christ. It says this seal means finality, purchased possession. And we find out in the Bible it tells us about the purchased possession. Also, in Jeremiah chapter 32, if you read that when you go home, that God told Jeremiah to go buy a field and pay $3,000, and he bought this field from his nephew. Now, he also knew that the nation of Israel was fixing to go into captivity for 70 years. Why buy a field whenever you're fixing to go into captivity and all this land is going to be tucked away from you? Well, God had also told Jeremiah, after 70 years, you will return back and the nation of Israel will return back to the homeland by leading of Nehemiah, as you know, in that time. So Jeremiah said, "Yes, sir, I'll do what you said. I'll buy that seal." And Jesus Christ bought the seal for you and I, paid the price on Calvary's cross for you and I for the sins that you know that we could not pay for. It says, you know, it is finished on the cross, paid in full, sealed. It is finality. It is over with. It is final. It says in Ephesians 4 and 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." We have the authority of God the Father, saved by God the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. In that book of Esther, talking about that seal, it says, "Write ye also the laws, write also for the laws for the Jew, as it liken you, the king's name, and seal it with a king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name, and seal with a king's ring, may no man reverse it." When the King of Glory, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he signed that transaction between you and I, no man, it says, can reverse this. It is a finished and a fixed transaction we have this day. Sealed by the King of Glory. No man can reverse this because we are sealed. Now, that is your constitution as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we know in our country, we know sometimes the presidents, they'll chip away at the constitution of this country. The greatest document probably of any nation has ever been on the face of this earth is that document called the Declaration of Independence, called, you know, the day our constitution that we would have signed. Now, but for many, many years, it's been chipped away at. It's been chipped away with presidents. It's been chipped away there with Congress. It's been chipped away Supreme Court judges. But I'm telling you, this document, they'll call, you know, the Constitution of Believers, signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. No man can chip away at this Constitution. I'm going to tell you what, you are saved and signed, and you are delivered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we want to thank the Lord for that. And that should cause you, knowing this, no matter what this country goes through, and about what our Constitution, where it rises or falls because of mankind, but man cannot reverse what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary's cross and paid the price for you, that you are saved today and saved tomorrow and saved forevermore by what Christ Jesus has done for you. And that ought to cause you want to serve him more than you ever served him before. Sealed to the day of redemption. Now, this is not a Baptist doctrine. This is a Bible doctrine. I want you to understand that. No matter what Baptists believe, the Bible says that you are sealed. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, maybe as Baptists, as our Baptists, we may be getting away from the Word of God, but the Word of God says you are baptized and sealed, and that is your constitution as a believer, and it stands as read in the Word of God. people now says this eternal security that you preach as Baptists, as you believe the Bible today, they say that this is a very dangerous doctrine. And I'll explain that to you as we go through the Word of God. A lot of people says that is a very, very dangerous doctrine. I'm going to tell you what, it's not a dangerous doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine. And to understand that you're saved and can never lose this, it ought to be a great blessing. But people say, well, if I know that I was saved and I know that I'm going to heaven whenever I die, and I say to you, it don't matter how you behave, but how you live, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Now, you might go through God's woodshed a couple of times, but you're going to heaven. And they say, well, if I knew that, I'd live any old way I wanted to. I live a carnal life. I live a worldly life. I live any way I want to because I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you, but it don't cause me to want to do that. It don't cause me to want to do that. Because, you see, it's final. But now this seal also means security. This security, there's six reasons to know and give you the power that you ought to live free and have the freedom in Jesus Christ. It is the first thing that Jesus Christ is present in me. Jesus Christ is present in me. John chapter 14 and verse 20 says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You're looking at somebody right now that has Jesus Christ living in me. I know I don't look much like Jesus Christ, but I will one day, because it says we'll all be in His likeness. But right now I am a person that Jesus Christ lives in. And if you're saved, Jesus Christ is living in you. You are the visible part of the invisible Christ here on this earth. He is in me, and that makes me His body, or part of His body, Jesus Christ. And if I perish, the part of Jesus Christ, but also have to perish also, because I am part of His body. Jesus Christ present with me. To think about that, everywhere, everything I do, He's always present with you if you are saved. But the second reason is His promise to me. John chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. Have you heard the word this morning? And He says, and believe on Him. Have you believed on Him this morning? And the one that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That should give you the assurance today. And you know what ought to make you stand up for Jesus Christ? To know that He has a promise to you and a promise to me, and I have everlasting life. I'm just agreeing with Jesus Christ. I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm agreeing with Jesus Christ that I have everlasting life. No one today would stand up and say, because of what you've done, or how you act, how you behave, how you live, because you're going to heaven. No, I'm agreeing with Jesus Christ. He says, anyone have heard? I've heard the word of God. Did you believe? He gave me faith to believe. And now He says, you know what? I have passed from death unto life. That is everlasting life, to believe on Jesus Christ. He says, now I have life already. I've heard the word of God. I have believed. I have everlasting life. Not that I will one day, but I have already. A lot of people say, well, now what if you live 10 years and you lose it? Well, that would be 10-year life. That would not be everlasting life. What if you live 20 years and lose it? That would be 20 years life. It would not be eternal life. What if you live 50 years and lose it? You'd have 50-year life and not eternal life. Jesus Christ said eternal life. That's forevermore. And I recall you now to know what Christ has done for you, that we have this everlasting life. But he that is passed from death unto life. Everlasting life is not something that you get when you die. It's something that you get when you believe and understand that. It's something you get when you believe. People say, well, I'll have it whenever I get to heaven. No, you'll have it when you believe in Jesus Christ right now. He that believes, hears my word and believes on Him. Now, that is the second reason there. The presence in me, His promise to me, but also His purpose for me. He has a purpose for us this day. And understand these purposes that He has for us. The meaning of this security, because His purpose in me. Philippians 1 and 6.
Be in confidence of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Who began a good work in you? By the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ, the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit of God, started a good work in you whenever you were saved. Jesus Christ is the convincer. He's the one that's convinced you that you was a sinner. He's the one that convinced you because you don't have a deal with God. You are a lost sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You don't have a deal with God. You are a sinner and you need to be saved. The Holy Spirit of God is the convincer that convinced you that you had nothing to pay back. The first little sin that you've done, one little lie that you had ever told, you have nothing to pay God back for. That one lie that you told, you deserve hell for that one little lie. That one little pencil that you might have stole, you deserve hell for that one theft that you have done, because you have nothing to pay back that one sin that you've done. Why? Because you are a bankrupt sinner. Jesus Christ says, I paid it all to him that you owe, and I owe the day. You are a lost sinner, and you need to be saved. He is the convincer, the Holy Spirit. He convinced me that I needed salvation. Not just a good man, not just a good woman, not just a good person living the best I can. I was a lost sinner, and I needed to be saved because the Holy Spirit convinced me that it was not the way I lived, because I was a lost sinner, that I needed Jesus Christ. But he's also the converter. He converted me by what? Hearing the word of God. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the word of God, if I throw myself on Jesus Christ, that he would save me. As I said, hearing the word of God, and he saved me. He was the convincer. He was the one there that converted me. But see, also I said in those verses of scripture I read there, in that verse of scripture, Philippians 1:6, he is the completer. He started in you, and he will never, ever, ever give up on you. A lot of times we give up on people. You see, they won't do this, they won't do that. We try this, we try that, and we give up. But I tell you, one that starts a good work in you, he will never, ever, ever give up on you. Why? Because he is the completer, what he completed. And you'll be like Jesus Christ until that day of Jesus Christ. The way you keep it is the way that you got, as you got it. If you work for it, if you got it by works, you'll lose it by works. If you got it by grace, you'll keep it by grace. Thank the Lord. In that verse 14, it also says this earnest of this down payment, this earnest. Now, this word earnest, that what it means is a down payment. Not many years ago, if you bought an automobile, you could not buy an automobile unless you put down a down payment. I mean, it's not like this anymore. If you get it okay from the bank, it no matter how much it costs, you can just get anything you want to. But a few years ago, you had to have a down payment for a car. But not only that, you had a down payment for a house. You had to have part of that money on that house to have a down payment. About everything that you bought, you had to have a down payment. That is the earnest of the money, showing that the rest of it will come after that. This is the down payment. But the beautiful thing is, it's like a wedding ring. It's like a wedding ring. I know that Joyce might have thought many times she got a booby prize. But you know what the wedding ring is? Do you really know what the wedding ring is? Did you know that you were wedded to Jesus Christ? You know, on your wedding day, men, what you're saying when you give that beautiful lady that ring, you're saying, all that I am, and all that I will be, and all that I ever have, I'll give to you. When you said, I do in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ says, all that I am, I'll give to you. And that is your wedding to Jesus Christ. That is the security. That is the purpose for me in Jesus Christ. But the fourth reason is that security is also because his protection around me. All this life that I've lived, he's protected me. And he's protecting you this hour. John chapter 10, 27 and 28. It says, my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, you see that word man in this beautiful, beautiful translation of the best translation that ever be translated is the King James. And that word man is in italics. All its translation will tell you when it's been something been added. All the rest of them just puts it there and you just take it whatever they put. But this is my translation, it says in my italics. You see that in your King James? And that means the word had been added there to kind of straighten out or iron out the sentence a little bit. And you would read it this way, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand, and just omit the word man because it's in italics. Now that means neither man nor demon nor any influence or anything can ever take you out of God's hand. Now, a lot of time I've heard people tell me this, that do not believe in eternal security. They would tell you that, you know, yeah, but man cannot do this. You may not do this, but the devil could take you out of God's hands. Well, if the devil could take you out of God's hands, how come he hadn't already done that? If he could do it, how come he hadn't already done it? Now, if he could do it and didn't do it, and you went to heaven, you'd be going to heaven by the goodness of the devil. You'd be going to heaven by the goodness of the devil. If he could do it, he would do it. He says nothing, nobody, no power can ever take me out of the hands of the Lord. So his protection around me. Oh, but you see, there's a prayer concerning me. I love this part. You know, this prayer he has here concerning me and this prayer he's doing for me. For me right now, this hour. In John chapter 17:9, it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Now, Jesus Christ, right now, it ought to be a blessing to us to know that he's praying for you. But now, so many times that we do not really get and grasp the great blessing that Jesus Christ is praying for us. Because you see, he's at the right hand of the Father up high praying for us. That's right. But it's the same thing. Now, what if he was just outside these doors praying for you? But see, when it gets a little bit closer to understand what he's talking about here. What if Jesus Christ is walking up to your pew right now and he's laying those nail-scarred hands on your shoulder, on the hands of Jesus, and he's down and he's praying for you. Father, Father, I pray for this one. You see, we grasp it better when we understand. He's not just way up yonder. He's present with you. Those going in the hospital, those are in the hospital, those are being in the hospital. But think about this, have you saved? And people pray. You say, pray for me, and we do. But do you think about this? When you next time you have to go to the hospital, the next time that you're sick, and the next time that you have a problem. That Jesus Christ has his hand on the hospital bed, and he's touching you. And you got to go to the doctor. You got to have this operation. You got to have this test. You got this problem, and you don't know what's wrong. You don't know what's going to happen. And your family have difficulties, and they have problems. You don't know how you're going to make it. You just remember. Father! He's praying for you. He's praying for me. That should make us to understand. In Hebrews 7:25, Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercessions for them. John 17 and 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of this world, but that thou shalt keep them from that evil one or that evil day. You know, people, a group of people thinks they won't have security till they get to heaven. One third of the angels fell from heaven. One third of the angels fell from heaven. Salvation is eternal security now, and it's not in a place called heaven. It's in a person called Jesus. A person called Jesus. I am more secure standing here on this earth than the angels are in heaven. I'm more secure here on this earth in Christ Jesus than the angels are in heaven. I am secure, the sixth thing, because there's power over me. 1 Peter 1 and 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in that last time. You know, God protects me, and I know a lot of us have children here today, and I protect my children and give them any cost I could to protect them. I would do it to protect my children. And what God desires to do is protect you, but what I might not be able to protect my kid, but what God desires to do, he is sufficient to do it. And he wants to protect you. And I tell you, I cannot protect my kids, and you cannot protect your kids and your family like you'd like to. But God can protect his kids. He's sufficient to protect you. And he says that I will. Danger, as I said, because they say this doctrine that I'm preaching this hour, many people says it's dangerous because you want to live worldly and carnally in any way you want to. Most godliest people, most sacrificial people, most soul winning people, most spirit-filled people are people that did believe in eternal security. What could make you be more committed than anything else to Jesus Christ? In 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge in California was finished in 1937. The first section of that bridge they put up was finished. 29 people fell to their death fixing that first span. And they knew that was a great cost of lives for that span. The second span, they said, well, we'll build a net. So they built a net underneath that second span. It cost $100,000. At that time, it was a lot of money back in the 30s. But only 10 people fell on that next span, but that net caught them. And then 10 people's lives were spared. That's a great, interesting thing to think about, that they had made a net and that many people were saved. But you see, that was not the most interesting thing, although the valuable thing, but what the most interesting thing? The most interesting thing was, it says, because of the workers understood they had this net under them, it says they, less of them fell, because only 10 fell on that span instead of 25. But the progress of the work was 25% greater than it was in the first section. They didn't worry about falling. They was free to do their work because they knew that they were secure. And it caused them to put their mind on their work. They worked 25% more on their work than they did before because they weren't worried about falling. You see, that's what I'm talking about, eternal security. It ought to cause you, the ones that believe that you cannot lose your salvation, it ought to cause you to work harder than anybody ever believed that they could lose their salvation. Knowing, you see, because our past has been forgiven and our future is secure, now, you see, we ought to be able to concentrate on the present of our security. And the present that God has given us this day. But the third thing now, the seal means identity, ownership. In this book of Ephesus, it was a lumber town back in those days when the Bible was being written. and they would take the logs and they would ship them down the river like a lot of the northern states used to do here in the United States. But they would cut the trees and ship them down the river. And when they did, they had several different companies they do nowadays, and those companies would put the seal on the end of that log. And they would ship it down the river there to Ephesus now, and when they got there, they would read these seals and know what company belonged, this log belonged to. Well, the same thing we understand today is for identification. Whenever I was a young boy, a lot of us here today remember we had our livestock hogs that had a mark on the ear to identify down at the courthouse. Every county had their mark. Every farmer had their mark, and those hogs would go wild. There was no fences, and they'd go wild, whatever they wanted to do. But when those hogs were brought up, they had these marks in the ear, and that was identification. They belonged to a certain farmer. And also, not on that, the cows were branded. Did you see out there in the West where they used to, the cows were branded? That was ownership, knowing they believed that there was ownership. Well, I say you are sealed with that seal of ownership, identification that you belong to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19 also tells us, never let the foundation of God stand sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Sealed, signed, and delivered. It also says in 2 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Seal of the Holy Spirit that God has placed on me and on you. He has made a tremendous investment, the blood of Jesus Christ upon my life. And he has made a tremendous investment upon you by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has applied your life by your faith in him. He has a great investment in us, every one of us. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul had this argument here. What Christ would not hold back, or God would not hold back anything from us. He said, give us all things. He delivered up his son. What does that mean? I have three sons. I would not give any of my sons, not one of them, for anybody here or anybody in the world. But suppose that someone taught me in giving one of my sons for you, that die for you. Suppose I did accept that challenge and I would allow one of my sons to die for you. Well, he died for you. And he said, well, I need a house. Well, my son has a house. Well, I'm going to give you his house. Well, my son has clothes. You need clothes? I'm going to give you clothes. Well, I'm hungry. Well, my son had food. I'm going to give you food. If I would give you one of my sons to die for you, would I hold back anything that you needed after I had done give you my son? That's what Jesus Christ done for us. That's what God the Father says. He'll give you all things. He that spared not his own son, he gave you Jesus on the cross. Do you think he'll hold back anything from you? He's gave you a son. Well, I would not hold back any. If I was to give you my son, you could have everything else. It didn't matter. It don't matter. I've given you my son. What else can I give you? It don't matter. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not will also freely give us all things? How shall he not give us all things? You see, the constitution of the believer, it means the ownership of what Christ has done for us. I have a great responsibility to him. He's got a great investment in me. And for us to understand this morning, it ought to cause you to walk out of this church a better person for Jesus Christ, a more dedicated person for Jesus Christ, a more determined person for Jesus Christ, a more thankful person for Jesus Christ, a more loving person for Jesus Christ,
a better family man that you've ever been, a better wife, a better husband, a better whatever it might be, mother, a better child, whatever it might be. Lord, it calls you to be better for the Lord than you've ever been before. If you just realize these things, what Christ Jesus today, the most important, I think, you'd ever understand of this constitution here this hour of the believer. If put together in God's word, all these other things won't matter anything when you reach glory. Serve Him. Read these verses of Scripture again this morning that I read to start on the beginning of the hour. 13 and 14. Whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the glory and praise of His glory. He ought to call us to praise and glory Him. He would come now with a song of invitation. I know that God has overshadowed this place this morning without a shadow of doubt in my mind. And I know that He's talked to every person in here. How you respond is up to you. But I know the Holy Spirit of God has responded today. This is the opportunity He has here on this earth to minister, the ministry He has to you through His word. He's done that this morning. And whatever decision be made today will be up to you. Whatever God has called you to do, He give you the power to do it. And I hope that you make it decision for Jesus Christ this hour as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.
Have thine own way.
That's all He's asking here this day.
Have thine own way.